this.
Hey, have you seen his Instagram?
They need
this Felgert mask.
They don't use crank enough.
On 98.5.
Yeah, not really.
The Sports Hub.
Alex, I think there's a lot of anticipation to see what your lineup looks like tomorrow because of...
Me too, man.
Yeah, and so I have not high hopes of getting a definitive answer, but is the possibility of using your right fielder on the infield still in play?
Mookie Betts at second? No, he's not playing second base tomorrow. I mean, he's not starting at second base.
Hour 3, Felger and Maz, every Friday at this hour. We're joined by Chris Gasper of the Boston Globe, and so he joins us in our Town Fair Tire Studios. What's up, Gasparino?
What's going on? How are you guys?
Good, you?
Doing great.
Good.
Gasper,
good.
So
hi, Chris.
Hi, Chris.
That's the nerds love you, and we support your message. Suck it, Flieger.
Gasper is brought to you by Mass General Hospital. Nerds have taken over the game, taken over the Dodgers. I think the Red Sox nerds are better than the Dodgers nerds. I'm not even sure about the managers. That's an overstatement. I think Coors is good. I don't know about Roberts. But I do know the Red Sox probably have some better nerds. And even maybe even just that cut, maybe I'm getting something. Maybe I'm picking something up in that cut. He's asked about his lineup. We've asked, you know, where's Betts going to play? Who sits? Where's Martinez? Da, da, da. Again, here's how he answers the question.
Mookie Betts at second? No, he's not playing second.
No. The very first part. Start at the beginning.
Alex, I think there's a lot of anticipation to see what your lineup looks like tomorrow because of...
Me too, man.
Yeah.
Oh. A lot of anticipation from Cora? Why does he have... He's waiting for the nerds to come down and tell him who to start.
Oh, see, I think it's got to do with J.D. Martinez's ankle.
Would you work with me here?
Oh, sorry. No, I think it's the nerds.
Our nerds are way better than the Dodgers nerds.
That's what I meant. He's waiting for the nerds to tell him whether Martinez's ankle's healthy.
He's waiting for the Zach Scott character, the chief nerd there, to hand him the binder. I think that's what he's waiting for. Gasper, your thoughts.
Okay. Well, I when you look at what the Dodgers have done, here's where I agree with you guys, and I agree with you, Felger, on this. I think that what they did in the first two games didn't make a lot of sense. I think that right now in baseball, there's a situation where there's information overload, and I think sometimes people don't know what's important and what's not, and you can lose sight of the big picture. You're in the World Series. Your best players need to play. Game one, the all right-handed lineup against Sale, didn't have a huge problem with it. It's fine. Sale's filthy if he's right on lefties. Against David Price, no. You got to put some of your best guys in there. And Max Muncy, his OPS against lefties, it's lower, but it's 891.
Exactly.
Fourth highest in the league. We said it all day.
Yeah, 891. And some of the other guys, now look, I can understand why you'd sit some of the other, like Bellinger has struck out in more than a quarter of his at-bats against lefties. But if I go and look at Jock Peterson, he doesn't have that many at-bats against lefties. The batting average is low. He has 9 hits, but 5 of them are for extra bases. So what if he runs into one? You know, Grandal, they don't let him hit a lot from the right side. The batting average is low, but half the hits are for extra bases. You're playing in Fenway Park. All he has to do off a lefty is hit a fly ball to left field. It's probably a double. You know, so I think they've outsmarted themselves in a lot of ways, but I don't blame the manager. I blame the president of baseball operations there, Andrew Friedman.
The nerds.
Yeah, that's what's going on. I don't blame Dave Roberts.
See, I also blame Roberts, but go ahead.
Well, because I think in today's baseball, Matt, I'm not sure it's the choice of the manager.
Okay, so then...
You know, here's the choice. Do you want to keep your job?
I'm quoting you on this.
Do you want to keep your job,
I'm quoting
right?
you on this.
I'm saying this is the starting lineup. Now, some of the in-game stuff, which I'm going to get to in a second.
Hold on.
What the difference is between Roberts and Cora, I'll get to that. But I think the starting lineup, like, that idea of... Like, you really think Dave Roberts was like, you know what? Let's bench all these guys and just, for the first two games... They're going with lefties. We'll go with an all right-handed lineup. I have to get Brian Dozier in there. I have to get Chris Taylor. Do you really think that was his idea?
I think Roberts buys in fully. That's what I think.
I think he wants to keep his job, Mads. That's
no,
what I think.
No, I'm
I think he's
you.
A yes man, like a lot of people at work.
No, I'm telling you, I think Roberts is one of these guys who believes in it. So, because you're making it sound like, no, I don't really want to do this, but I'm going to do it. And I don't think it's that way. Okay. I think he agrees with it. And that's my problem with Roberts is that I feel like Roberts could very easily look at this lineup and say, you know what, I can't. Max Muncy at Fenway Park, I'm sorry, has to play.
I agree. No, we're in agreement.
Has to play. Like that one, that one to me is not even debatable. I look at Muncy and say, as you said, his OPS is 900 and you're not playing him?
Yeah.
Guy who hits 35 home runs.
Ridiculous.
When you have a DH on top of it?
Yeah. Makes no sense.
I mean, idiotic.
Okay, so.
But let me just say this. Let me ask you this, Maz. Let's say you're right and he does agree with it. in today's baseball, and I'll use the, you know, the Bob Melvin example. He's a great manager in Oakland, but, you know, let's be honest, he's also sort of neutered by Billy Beane. Even if Roberts disagreed, do you think he'd say something or do something different?
Yes.
So you think he would override what comes down from baseball ops and Andrew Friedman, who's one of the highest paid executives in the game? You'd say, nope, not doing that. What you nerds are doing is dumb.
Yeah. I mean, if he's an assertive manager and has a good relationship with his GM, yes.
He doesn't strike me as that type of guy.
And I'm going back years now, but I don't have any other frame of reference because I don't cover the team anymore. Okay, but in 07, Theo didn't want Jacoby Ellsbury to play. He didn't want him in there. Francona, it was the other way around, rather.
Okay, but
I'm sorry. Francona didn't want Ellsbury to play.
It's gotten worse from there.
Way, way worse. But I'm just telling you that again. I think it has a lot to do with the relationship between the two. Dave Roberts believes in this crap. He does. He believes in it.
Well, I want to hear.
Otherwise, he wouldn't have brought Ryan Madsen into that game again the other night.
Okay, I think he was on autopilot, but go ahead.
Okay, well, Ryan Madsen.
I give Roberts the lineup. Me. The Dodger nerd. Roberts listens to me.
If you just said in today's baseball, I'm not sure they have a choice, me and the manager. So why is Alex Cora any different?
I'll tell you why he's different. See, you were saying that with the Nunez thing, that he was just sort of going, oh, you know, left, right, I'm just going to do whatever the situation is. I think there's a way where you can use this information to your benefit, and you can really drill down and know how you're going to do it to get the matchup you want. So the difference with Cora is if Cora was the same as Roberts, then Devers never would have even been in the game. He would have sat the two games against Clayton Kershaw and Ryu, correct?
Yes, that's fair.
Okay. So he's in the starting lineup. So that means that Cora's not doing it the same way as Roberts. It's not all information-based. Now, where I think you're wrong on the Nunez home run is here's a situation that I don't think he was just going like left-right. You had Alex Wood come into that game. Alex Wood is a breaking ball off-speed pitcher. Rafael Devers is terrible against left-handed off-speed stuff. I looked this up on StatCast today. His batting average 100 against that. And Eduardo Nunez hits off-speed stuff really well, 297.
He's a good bad ball hitter as well.
He is. So I think that was the change, and that's using information in a smart way.
Oh, sure.
It's different than what's happening with Roberts, and I think you're not giving Cora the credit he deserves for that move. That wasn't just sort of like, well, you brought in a lefty, so now I bring in a righty. It was the type of lefty you brought in, what that guy's stuff was, and the fact that he knows that Devers struggles against off-speed stuff from lefties.
It's still what the analytics told him. I guarantee you in his three-ring binder, it said Wood v. Devers or Wood v. Nunez. Go with Nunez. I guarantee you. And I guarantee you the Dodgers three-ring binder from the nerds, it said we don't want Baez. If you have a choice, you'd rather have Wood versus Devers or Wood versus Nunez versus Baez versus Devers. I guarantee you that's what they're... I bet you that's what the data showed.
Cora listens to me and only me. I get credit for the Nunez home run. Me the nerd suck at Casper.
They have all the things probably laid out, every individual matchup. And they probably had it weighted or graded or telling you this is what you want, this is what you don't want, if given this versus that, and it's all gone over. And if they get into a situation, if Wood came in, they wanted Nunez and not Devers. And I guarantee you that's what the three-ring binder said. Because if you're just going on a baseball player or who was swinging a better bat, who's got a higher ceiling or who's a better player, it's Devers, which is why he was in the starting lineup.
But the manager's been around, for the 162-game season.
And Roberts hasn't.
And the playoffs. And he's perceptive.
And
he's
Roberts
perceptive.
Isn't? And Roberts
I haven't
isn't?
Seen enough of Roberts. Honestly, I don't, you know, what I've seen so far, I don't think he's that perceptive. So he knows that Devers struggles against breaking stuff to begin with and really against lefty breaking stuff. And goes to Nunez. I mean, that's just a smart move. That's a good managerial move. That is completely different from...
I just don't know why you're giving that credit to the manager when you're saying this stuff all comes from upstairs. You don't think the relief stuff comes from upstairs, too? They've got every matchup down there. It's all laid out for him. Baez versus this guy, that guy, this guy, that guy, this guy, that guy. And same with Wood. Wood and on both sides. So the Red Sox see it. If Wood comes in, this is who we like against him. This is who we don't like against him. I mean, so why would you ascribe that to Roberts but not Cora?
Because what I said with this, Roberts does it's just sort of like auto. It's like, oh, okay, we're facing a left-hander. We're going to load it up with righties because it's like the odds there. Whereas Devers was in the starting lineup against Clayton Kershaw. Isn't that you can still use the information without being held hostage by it. I think Roberts is held hostage by it. I think Cora is able to use it to his benefit. He's not right every time, but I think there are times he says, I'm going to use this to my benefit, and other times where he says, no, I'm going to have Devers in the lineup. I'm fine with this. Do you think that they looked at it and said curveball master Clayton Kershaw versus Devers? Do you think the three-ring binder said Devers should be in there?
I think they also like having the right-handed bat on the bench to use in that
exact situation. That's a factor, too. Yeah.
So is that in the binder or is that strategy?
It's all, it's all together. Alex is in there with the Nerds.
So anybody could manage the team then.
As the Nerd said, that is, well, when they start hiring first-year managers who've never managed T-ball, and now Rocco Baldelli, and then another kid off of, who's the manager in Tampa? The kid who manages
Kevin Cash.
Kevin Cash, and now his bench coach, who's another kid, nobody.
Yep.
Yes, I mean, I'm not saying anybody could do it, but it's, I'm not the only one to say this, that the manager's job is to foster confidence and a good feeling in the clubhouse.
I agree with that.
And they're there to execute what the Nerds handle.
I'm just saying not everybody applies the information equally as well. And not everybody's as good. So I think some people get overwhelmed by it and it becomes a detriment. And other people, I think Core is very good at this. I think AJ Hinch in Houston is good at it. They're able to use it to their benefit. Like, I always go back to the 2016 World Series with Madden. He's like, oh, well, this is what the cool kids do now. This is what we're doing. Here's, I got to shoehorn John Lester into this game, even though Hendricks has it going. That's what I'm saying. And to me, Roberts feels more like the Joe Madden, where it's like, oh, well, this is what everyone's doing now. This is the trend. These are the numbers. These are the, no one can second guess. It becomes a crutch.
So look,
whereas I feel like Core is more willing to sort of go out on a limb. Devers will start the game. And when he does make a change, yes, is he using the information like every other manager in baseball? He is, sure, but that doesn't mean he gets no credit for the move or no credit for what he's done.
I think it's inconsistent to say that Core gets credit, but Roberts doesn't. Like, if baseball's
baseball... I would give Roberts credit for good moves he's made, but what are the good moves?
I mean, I think the Red Sox have better decision-making than the Dodgers, and the managers included, because here, the manager's in the Nerd Room. The Nerds are, like, bragging about how much the manager listens. We feel connected, said the chief nerd, Zach Scott. I definitely feel more.
Is that his official title?
I don't know what is. I've given it to him. I definitely feel more connected to our major league manager than I ever have. So he's saying this guy listens to us.
See, I think the Dodgers go overboard. I think we all agree on that. Okay, the Dodgers go overboard. But when you say the Devers would match up,
yeah,
Kershaw's not a breaking ball pitcher, or Ryu's not. He started both games.
That's what I said. That's what I'm saying. That to me is the difference between Cora and Roberts. I think the Dodgers and Roberts would say no.
But hold on. But you said Wood came in and he's a breaking ball pitcher, so Cora pulled him out. But then why did he let him hit against the other breaking ball pitchers?
Because he believed in him as a guy. But when he gets to that point in the game, now we need to win the game. So what's our best possible situation here? What's our best possible matchup here?
Best possible situation in the sixth, but not the first?
And also, I'd say this, you know, Wood is a guy who, you know, Kershaw's fastball is not what it used to be, but he's still going to go out there and throw fastballs. Wood is primarily, from what I can see on StatCast, I mean, he throws a sinker, but he's primarily an off-speed. Yeah. So that's...
Yeah, they wanted the right-handed bat on the bench to match all of Roberts' nonsense late in the game, and their left-hander's out of the bullpen. And I guarantee you, the matchup said, here we want Nunez versus Wood and not Devers. It's just, whatever they base that on, the numbers, the metrics, whatever the past history is, spin rate, exit velocity, whatever they did, I bet you that was in there. I don't think Alex Cora goes against it. I mean, to me, I'm just going to be consistent. Either they're all taking it or they're all not. I mean, I don't know how you parse apart what is Alex's and what's
because
Roberts.
Because it's so you. There's like no great. Well, no, but, there's no gradations here. It's like so.
But how do you know?
But here's what I'm saying.
How do you know?
I could hand the same information.
How do you know that was Alex's call and not in the binder?
I could hand the same information to me and to Murray, and we could act on it differently. You don't think there's an idea that one of us could use the information better than the other? You think we all have the same information, so we're all going to behave exactly the same?
I just don't know how you can parse it out, how you know.
But, Mike, you agree, though, that the Dodgers take it farther than the Red Sox do.
I think it made some really stupid decisions. I don't know if that's Roberts interjecting or fully Nerds. I don't know how you parse it out. So I'm just going to try and be consistent. I think the Nerds have taken over the whole thing.
Okay, but the point being, that yesterday when we had the discussion, though, you agree that the Dodgers go too far.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Is that Roberts or is that the Nerds?
I don't know.
Right. My point.
See, I think Roberts buys into it. I don't think Roberts is doing it with someone holding his arm behind his back.
I think Alex totally buys in. You just said Alex imported Nerds from Houston.
He did.
When Alex took the job, he said, we need more Nerds. We need better Nerds. And he brought his own Nerds from Houston.
Have to know how to use the Nerds, though. That's the whole point of this conversation. I think the Dodgers haven't done it. They've done it. The Dodgers have done it to their detriment. I think the Red Sox have done it, and it's been an advantage for them. And I think you can parse it. I do think there's a difference.
I think we should import some Nerds. Nerds. We need them Nerds. Let's import them.
Who's that kid? I still haven't learned his name. That looks like a good nerd there.
Tucker, Harvard kid, he's a nerd.
Yeah, see? You could tell. You could tell. Is he giving you advanced analytics back there about the show, Stu?
No.
Yes, sir.
No. He gave it to me. You'll hear it from 6 to 8, baby. It's right here.
All right. Real quick, the lineups aren't out. What do you think they're going to do today?
I think that you are going to get Moreland or Holt, but not both. I think you're only going to get one of those guys because he's going to want the other one to be on the bench. That's what I think. Devers plays, right-hander on the mound. Devers will start. I don't think you're going to get Holt and Moreland, though, because he wants a lefty on the bench for the late innings.
Martinez going to play in the outfield?
I think they will start by trying it and see what it looks like. They got 2 days, right? They've been able to give him treatment, shoot him up, put him out there, see what it looks like. I think you have to try, don't you?
Gasper, 30 seconds. Is this thing over?
I don't think it's over, no.
Me neither.
I mean, I think the Red Sox are going to win, but I don't think it's over.
I knew you were a smart guy, Chris.
Thanks, Matt.
He uses analytics. All right, so we are off and running on Agenda Free Friday. It's brought to you by Planet Fitness. The world judges they don't. PlanetFitness.com, I promise. To your phones right after this.
Felger and Mez. The Sports Hub. Felger and Mez.
Wow.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
You're feeling like, let's just ride with bias at that point?
You know, I think sometimes what happens, Scott, is that the matchup and what the numbers may tell you, left on left in Devers case, overrides what the gut feeling, what your eyes are showing you in Baez on the mound.
Mm-hmm.
Left-hander Moreland, he strikes out, and the right-hander following him, Bogarts, he strikes out on high fastball. So here's a right-handed power reliever that's getting lefties and righties, but yet he goes to the left-on-left matchup and gets beat.
The book tells you this. The math tells you this. Do you listen to that, or do you listen to your gut in that situation?
Well, I think the forecasting or the pregame prep took all this into account.
Right.
But then as it's unfolding, that's got to take precedent to a certain extent. And, again, you're talking about one of the better relievers in his bullpen in Baez that he removes from the ballgame even after just 10 pitches thrown.
Again, that's John Farrell. You know you're in trouble when John Farrell's second-guessing you. That is it's a rock-bottom kind of moment. As promised, to your phones, Derek in Foxborough. What do you think about tonight?
Yeah, Maz, I saw you on the postgame, and you were talking about tonight's pitching matchup and how it's this huge advantage for the Dodgers. How many Cy Youngs has Walker Buehler won?
Zero.
And how many has Porcello won?
One.
Right, so you have a rookie pitcher going against a Cy Young winner, a guy who's only pitched like 20 games. I don't see how that's an advantage for the Dodgers.
I like Buehler's stuff better.
I mean, I wouldn't use Cy Youngs. How many Cy Youngs has Chris Sale won?
Zero.
Zero.
How many has Clayton Kershaw won?
Three.
Okay, I don't know who gets a check mark there, Red Sox fans.
Well, here's the other thing. The year he won the Cy Young, how many playoff games did he win? That would be zero. So
no, but he used Cy Young.
No, I know, but I'm just saying. It's like, okay, he won the Cy Young, but that's a regular season award.
Exactly.
Like,
who cares about the Cy Young?
Yeah,
who cares
about the Cy Young?
Who's got the matchup tonight, Chris? Who do you like?
I like the Dodgers in this game. Part of it's just, you know, sports psychology, the desperation end of it. I also feel like, you know, who knows? They might put their real lineup out there, and that could help them a little bit.
Oh, no, not might. Will. Righty versus lefty. I mean, you know, or you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You're going to get the lefties in the lineup tonight. You're going to get Muncy and Peterson and Grandal and Bellinger. You're going to get all of those guys tonight. This is, look, to me, when a righty's on the mound, it plays to the Dodgers' strength. No DH for the Red Sox, so they're going to lose a bat in there somewhere. And the desperation factor, which I also take into account. And they're home. I mean, all of it, to me, the whole thing points Dodgers tonight.
617-779-0985. Couple open lines if you want to grab them. Bob in Needham's been waiting patiently. Thanks, Bob. What do you got?
I've been waiting patiently. Are you kidding? First of all, Jerry West is the perfect person to do if you're going to do a comp with Belichick.
Not bad.
He won a title, and he did the, he's won titles with both management and...
No, it's a good one.
So, anyways, Felga, obviously you disdain your calls by leaving me on hold for that long, but my anger was at...
So you're saying you've been waiting impatiently. That was the correction.
Maz is my target, not you.
Go ahead, then go. Target him.
Maz, yeah. Dombrowski, whether you like him or you don't, he's figured that you said I remember this vividly. You said he had a 3-year window to win the World Series when he got Sale.
Yeah.
Well, it's a third year, and it looks like he's going to win the World Series. So you have to give him some credit.
I will.
You know, you said he traded the farm for him, but he's going to look like he's going to get it done. What you said he had to do, he's going to get it done. So you have to give him props
for
doing what he had to do. And I agree. I wasn't in favor of some of these deals, but he's picked, that guy from Tampa Bay was a steal.
Evaldi.
Yeah, Evaldi. I mean,
great move.
Who in the world would have known that he was that flexible, that he could do starting? And
not us. We hated him. We mocked him. We thought it was a horrible move.
Oh, I totally did. I thought he was just another guy.
Yep. stiff.
Yep, completely admit it.
That they cheaped out, wouldn't go over the tax. Dombrowski was stubborn about his bullpen. Thought it was a bad move, wasn't going to work. Yep, wrong. So there you go, Bob.
Yeah.
Pretty simple, right?
I agree. Yeah, when they win, they win. I will give Dombrowski all the props in the world. I've already admitted that he won the Evaldi move. That one's absolutely, whether they win it now or not, Evaldi's been a huge asset for them here in the postseason. No two ways about it. So, yes.
What's been the biggest surprise to you, Gasper? What were you not, of all the things that you weren't expecting, what's number one?
I would say probably the performance of the bullpen and just how well, you know, after that first outing in game one of the ALDS by Brazier, I was like, oh no, you know, he has the Schiraldi eyes, and he's been really good since then, and that's helped it. And I also didn't, I really thought that Dombrowski had sort of thrown the whole bullpen thing in Alex Cora's lap, and I still honestly feel like he did, but Cora has figured it out and he's navigated that really well. Now Joe Kelly's back at again. Alex Cora said that the other night. You know, this is the guy we had at the beginning of the year. That makes a huge difference for the bullpen. But when I look back upon this whole thing, it's the way Cora has been able to figure it out in the eighth with the Rover, whether it's Porcello or Sale or Evaldi, who's been lights out. He's been able to manage around the biggest roster hole this team had in the postseason. And I honestly didn't think that he could do it.
Okay. Hob, we'll get to another guy who I think has surprised most people. We'll do that right after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub.
You come into the National League Park, you have some decisions. How are you making those decisions?
Well, we go to matchups, and you know, obviously with the big boy a little bit banged up in the outfield, we're going to keep our best defensive players in the outfield. So JD's played left, Jackie's going to play center, and Mookie's going to play right. Brock is playing second base today with the matchup. There's a lot of information, information that we look at, and you know, we use it to our benefit, and we make decisions.
I will tell you when the lineup comes out.
Exactly. Exactly, Jimmy. So, lineup is trickling out. That's Alex Cora. Just moments ago on the MLB Network, we rolled on it. Andrew Benintendi out in favor of Jackie Bradley Jr. Jackie Bradley hippies. The Jackie Bradley Jr. Moonies. Rejoice. With all face Jackie Bradley wherever he is and down on your knees. He's playing. They don't want to take Jackie Bradley out of his out of this lineup. They're taking out a much better bat in Andrew Benintendi to keep Jackie Bradley in center, as he says there, because they're worried about the big boy. I think he's referring to JD Martinez there with the bad ankle.
I hate this. And Benintendi's defense has been great, too.
See, I told you I'd have gone this way from the beginning.
You said that. You may have heard something, man.
No, I didn't hear anything. I honestly thought they were leaning the other way. I said to you yesterday, if it were me, I'd play Bradley and put JD Martinez in left for lots of reasons. I don't want to take Mookie out of right field with all these left-handed batters in the lineup. I don't want to do that. Now you're going to stick JD, and then that was before the ankle, let alone with the bad ankle. I just think it's a big outfield there. You got a lot of left-handed bats. I'd rather have Bradley in center field to start, and you have to hit Benintendi, you hit him, which probably affects your decisions at some other spots, because now you're going to have Benintendi coming off the bench to hit late in the game, so maybe you do start
Pierce.
More Lindy and Holt, right?
I see, because you still have a left-handed back.
Exactly, right? So maybe that affects what they do in some other places there that, okay, we'll gain a little offense somewhere else. I don't know. But to me, this is how I would have done it from the beginning.
Okay. Cora's decision or...
Again. Jackie Bradley Jr. is amazing in the outfield. Elite. The nerds, want him in the lineup. Suck it, Jones.
Sorry, I keep stepping over Carmine. It's my fault. Would you just play that again and listen to Cora? Because the question is, how do you determine this? And listen to what he says.
You come into the National League Park, you have some decisions. How are you making those decisions?
Well, we go to matchups. And, you know, obviously with the big boy a little bit banged up in the outfield, we're going to keep our best defensive players in the outfield. So JD's going to play left, Jackie's going to play center, and Mookie's going to play right. Brock is playing second base today with the matchup. There's a lot of information, information that we look at, and, you know, we use it to our benefit, and we make decisions.
Okay.
We go to Suck it, Jones.
Sorry, Carmine. We go to the matchups. A lot of info. It's
and we make decisions.
Yeah.
We make decisions.
That dot matrix printer is working overtime. Rip it off. Alex, this is what
I make decisions.
Right.
I make decisions. This is like the autopilot in airplane.
Hal's making all the decisions.
So how do you feel about Benintendi Bradley in?
I don't like it, but he seemed to indicate why it's happening. He said with the big boy, you know, hurt there.
Yep.
There's obviously they want Martinez's bat in the lineup, but they have to protect him defensively. The best way to do that is to have Bradley next to him. So I think that played a part in it. I agree with everything Maz said in terms of the left-handed bats and all that. I am a little intrigued though, because look, again, last year, J.D. Martinez played right field at Dodger Stadium. He was a member of the Diamondbacks. He was in that division, so he would know it well. So I feel like if he were healthy, even though that's a lesser defensive lineup, that Bradley Jr. would be the one sitting. But they're worried about that ankle, and I think that's playing into it more than the nerd factor. Sorry, Carmine.
Yeah, I told you, I like Mookie in right field there. I think you're going to see a lot of action on that side of the field tonight.
I make decisions.
I'm telling you, because I don't like this game for the Red Sox. I don't. And you know, people here can take that however they want, because they think I hate the Red Sox. I pick against them all the time. But tonight, Mookie's going to be running sprints out there, because I think Porcello's going to get his face ripped off.
But there's...
You hate the Red Sox, Muzz.
Maz, Carmine, Maz. Patrick and Marble on tonight. What do you think, Patrick?
You hate the Red Sox, Maze.
Hey, guys. The lineup change kind of ruined my hot take. I was going to say, who would you rather have in the lineup, JBJ Hidden or Rick Porcello? And obviously, Benintendi's going to be in there sitting on the bench. So have a good day. Thanks for taking
okay,
my
so, I mean, I just find it interesting that they've really chosen defense over offense. I mean, you're really... There's a pretty big drop there from Benintendi to Bradley.
Sure there is.
Purcell, blow, can rake.
And normally I would say that the interleague games usually, I think, benefit, or the interleague series benefit the American League, because it's very rare that a National League team can pull off a power hitter from the bench to fill that pitcher's role. But the Dodgers are one of the few teams that can. You know, the Dodgers are one of the few teams that can. So I think that the interleague rules and the shifting of rules actually favors the Dodgers in this series. I don't know if it's going to make a difference or not, but usually when you ask an NL team to pull off a DH, it's a fourth outfielder who hits 220 and steals bases. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So the Dodgers have the ability to take advantage of that.
Which makes it all the more unconscionable that they didn't play Muncy in the American League ballpark.
Yes.
Because he is your classic DH. I mean, really, again, now they're going to play him. I don't know where they're playing him tonight on the field. He's played some second base for them in this postseason, but he's really a corner guy. I mean, he's a first baseman, third baseman, corner outfielder type. He's the kind of guy you got to find a spot for on the field where he's not going to do too much damage, because he's ultimately in there for his bat. And you come to an American League ballpark where you have a DH, and you can get the best of both worlds, and you sit his ass down?
So, but you don't think that's Roberts. You think he is strictly going at the behest of the nerds.
Yeah, I do. And just, I talked about this with you off the air, and this is what I feel the difference between Cora and Roberts. We listened to Cora there. He talked about, we have a lot of information, and then we make decisions. He can explain it. After game two, I sat in Roberts' press conference, and those decisions, to me, he's asked the questions. He's struggling to explain it. It just sort of seems like it's all premeditated by the binder or the book, and he's just going along with it. I don't think he really... They're giving him the information and telling him, here's what you should do in these situations. I don't think he's drilling down and saying, okay, I want to understand this. I think Cora sort of understands it. Cora wanted to hire more of these analysts. The story I think that you've referenced before, I think the analysts have even said he wants to understand. Mm-hmm. I think that's the difference between the managers. And that's the point I'm trying to make. Like, yeah, they all have the same information, but different people are better at knowing how to apply it and when to apply it than other people. And I think Cora is clearly better than Roberts at that.
Smarter baseball
guy. But look, when I asked you, how do you know that? You finally answered it, you know, when you by saying you sat through their press conferences and Alex was able to describe and explain why they made every move, you know, sort of implying that he was part of the move. Whether he was sitting in the room with the nerds or he was in favor of it or whatever, he was part of that decision-making process because he could articulate the answer, where Roberts really couldn't. So it just feels like he was, I got it. I hear you. I smell you. I think.
I have the lineup.
The whole lineup?
Go ahead, Carmine.
Yes.
Who's up first?
Lineup bets RF, Bagaritz SS, Moreland 1B, Martinez Loaf, Hole 2B, Devers 3B. Bradley Jr. CF, Vasquez C, Burchello RHP.
So wait a minute, Bogarts is hitting second?
Yes, of course. Yeah. Do you know why?
Analytics.
I mean, why is he hitting second?
Good question. Because no Benintendi. Because Benintendi's out of the lineup, so someone's going to fill that two-hole, and they're going with Bogarts.
And if you move Bogarts up, I mean, this is not even like, you know, this is basic math, but there's a chance that...
Don't question me.
There's a chance that one of your better hitters, move Bogarts up, right? He'll get more at-bats. You know, so if he's in the two-hole, then sure, he might get a fifth at-bat versus if you have him down, you know, farther in the lineup.
So I'm sorry, who was Martinez third and Moreland fifth?
No, Moreland third, Martinez fourth.
Moreland third.
Yeah, and then Devers fifth, Jimmy, is that correct?
Okay.
Holt will protect Martinez.
So there's your lineup.
Holt is batting fifth tonight. Brock Holt, cycle boy.
Wow. Holy crap. Wow.
Welcome to the National League. We continue with your thoughts right after this.
Don't question me.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Alleged postseason pinata, David Price, nails again.
Oh, what delicious irony. How you all want me now.
Get Price and you can put Price in.
You've mocked me and you've booed me.
You
said I'm a bad fit for this town.
Love it or leave it, Price.
You've laughed at my dog Astro. Said it was wrong how I talked to Ed.
David Price, wake
that
up.
That I'm a $30 million baby.
$30 million for what?
That needs to show respect. But now you want a World Series ring.
Deploy him as your secret weapon.
Get him in there. And it's Price, we need you.
Put Price in.
And oh, how that makes me laugh.
David Price was not wired to go to Boston.
It's my redemption song.
You need to go to L.A. and not make it come back to Boston.
And you can suck my balls.
Oh, I can't wait.
And also Astros.
Gasper, David Price, that on the list? Things you weren't expecting or what?
You know, I thought he'd break through eventually. I really did. And I looked at the way he pitched the second half of the year, and it wasn't just the way he pitched that stretch with the 1.59 ERA. It was the performance he had against the Yankees on Sunday night where, you know, Cora really left him in too long. He sent him back up for the seventh when he shouldn't have. But also the performance against the Astros and against the Indians. And I just thought those are playoff caliber teams. They were pretty big spots during the season, and he was able to perform. And so eventually he could do it in the playoffs. And I think the last performance he had, you know, game two of this series, doesn't just sort of prove the whole thing was mental? Like once he got over the hump,
totally.
The whole thing was mental for him. And once he got over the hump, he was able to go out there and just pitch. Just pitch.
All right, Chris, you said this thing is not over. What's the Dodgers' path?
To do it? I think they have to, you know, win two games, two of the three, in L.A. and come back here, and then they would have to, you know, win a game six, and then anything can happen in a game seven. I mean, it's not an easy path, but here's one thing Roberts did say that I thought, you know, was cogent, and I thought there was some truth to it. If you're the Dodgers, you lost the two games in Boston, but do you lose those two games and feel like, well, we can't play with these guys, you know, 108 wins, we don't even belong on the same field. You sent out your B lineup, you didn't really get the big hit. The biggest hit of the series so far is Nunez with that pinch hit three-run home run. I think you sort of probably feel like if you've just done, you know, one hit here, one hit there, you're close. So I don't think the Dodgers would come back to Fenway thinking, well, we can't win two games here.
Okay. So again, Mass doesn't think it's over either. Murray, this thing over?
Yeah, five games. Gentlemen sweep.
Nice.
He'll give them one just out of courtesy, Chris. That's how big Jim sees it. The Dodgers lineup goes pretty much left, right, down the whole thing. Jock Peterson leads off. See, this is what bugs me, and the Sox have done it too, is that one day a guy's leading off or batting third, and the next day he's out of the lineup. So it's like it's just purely left, right, or magic.
Don't question me.
Sorry, Carmine. But so now, you know, after DJ Dozier leads off the first two games, here comes Jock Peterson. Peterson leads off, Turner batting second, Muncy batting third, Machado batting fourth, Bellinger fifth, Puig stays in the lineup batting sixth, Grandal I'll touch on him in a second. Seventh, and then Taylor. Chris Taylor goes to second base. Bueller, the pitcher. Grandal, watch out for this guy behind the plate. Absolute basket case. Now, I don't know what his what he is normally, like what his reputation is or what his regular season was, but he had basically had a meltdown against the Brewers and they had to bench him. But he's a much better offensive player than this Barnes or Burns, the other
Austin Barnes,
the
yeah.
backup catcher that they use. He's a on paper a much better offensive player, or he's a better hitter. He hasn't hit for crap in the postseason because he's basically fallen apart. But so just keep an eye on it. If you know pass balls, wild pitches, etc., like that. Grandal was an absolute mess.
See, if I were a Dodger fan, this lineup would piss me off to no end.
Why?
Because you just played games 1 and 2 of the World Series, and neither Muncy nor Bellinger started. And now they're hitting third and fifth.
Right. So this is like, but I say the same thing with the Red Sox.
It's where did you go to school? Sucks to be you, suck at Fleeger.
So it's like, you know, one day Steve Pierce is your number three hitter. Now he's not even in the lineup. It's like, well, what are we doing? On what planet is he a three hitter? But it's the matchup.
Yeah. It's just, and again, see, I feel like Bellinger should play all the time. I know he strikes out a lot.
Yeah,
he's a talented kid, though. He's a good outfielder. Like, there are other aspects to his game and other things that he can bring that would help the team. The fact that you would treat your middle of the order, as platoon guys, to me tells me, like, either you're not very good or you're mismanaging
it. The Red Sox are doing it, too. They've just swapped out their third hitter based on a platoon.
Yeah, but Pierce crushes lefties. I mean, that, you know, I think that's sort of you know, I don't want to say it's standard baseball.
He should be hitting fifth.
I was going to say the three spot?
Yeah, I know what you're saying, fifth. But I'm saying, like, I don't ascribe that now to sort of the new everybody trying to build a better mousetrap baseball. I think that you would see that before, you know, back in the day.
Not in the third spot. No effing way. No way. Not in the three spot. Maybe down the lineup for sure. Not in leadoff.
He sucks against left-handers, Mace.
Sorry, Carmen.
He blows.
So you're seeing this.
Mace.
You're seeing this all over the place.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. So to me, the Dodgers' advantage in this series was pitching. I don't know. I thought it was pitching. I haven't quite seen it yet. You know, do we see it out there? Is Kershaw a different guy? So I asked you, what's the Dodgers' path? To me, it's pitching. They, on paper, have a chance to outpitch you. They have what should be a better starting rotation. And going into the series, you would say you would take their closer over yours, but your closer seems to have straightened it out, too. And all of a sudden, Joe Kelly, you know, misses every bat he throws to.
So that changeup's been filthy.
It's just been, like, out of nowhere. So, I mean, I don't know quite how to handicap it. But what's the Dodgers' advantage or what's their path back? Pitching. And we'll see tonight. This Bueller kid has tremendous stuff.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
So
and when he's on,
I don't know
he's
how
not
that,
overhyped.
I don't know how that translates or what that means or how he does in the big moment or if you're just so good and so relentless that you'll get to him like he got to everybody else. The way things are going, you probably will. But this kid can pitch. This kid can pitch tonight.
Throws bullets.
And then you've got Kershaw at home in game 5. So there is a path there for the Dodgers to get it back. Chris, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Good to see you guys.
Folks, your calls, we promise, the final hour. We've been waiting for a long time on a lot of different stuff. We introduced a little Celtics earlier, a little Patriots earlier. I promise. We'll zip through all of it, starting with your calls, right after Murray's update here. 90 seconds, no commercials.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.